fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Friday, the 11th day of the 11th month, November 11th, 2022. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Yes, this is the day we recognize all the men and women who served in all the various capacities in the U.S. military, Veterans Day 2022. We begin with a Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody stand, face the flag. Gentlemen, remove your hats, right hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The prep tip of the day is to make sure you've got at least 10 magazines for your battle rifle. If you have a combat pistol that you keep also, that takes a detachable magazine, be sure you have at least 10 magazines for it as well. That's just a good starting point. Magazines do get broken and bent and rusty and so forth, and it's always good to have plenty of extras. All right, we're hoping that Tom Berryhill will join us. When he does, we will be talking about emergency survival communications and ham radio. That's what we do every Friday morning, the first hour. Yesterday we had what might be the last warm day here in South Central Missouri for a while. It was up to about 80 degrees. I had my Triumph out and drove about 50 miles to Cuba, Missouri and back, running various errands, enjoying the fresh air and the sunshine, and my beautiful Triumph TR6 that was running perfectly, as typically it does. And one of the things I've come to realize about that automobile is no matter where I go, I get compliments. Young men are typically it's men, sometimes women, that are wondering what the car is because about half the people don't know what it is. And I'm surprised at the number that do, actually, since they haven't been manufactured since, I think, 1974 was the last year, 74, 75 was the last year they were manufactured. And there never were all that many to begin with. I read an article this morning at the Gateway Pundit that sheriff's deputies have been posted at the Maricopa County government offices where the ballots are being counted. The sheriff's deputies on the roof, barricades around the perimeter, deputies on the ground. Somebody's taking this whole thing quite seriously, and I'm glad they are. This is a really big deal that somebody took charge and has put these deputies in these positions to make sure that everything's under proper control. We have, or I should say, our republic is in dire straits and in very serious jeopardy. The opposition, who I call the Socialists, Communists, Democrats, Muslims, they've been working for about a century since they took over Russia to take over the United States. And they've had a lot of success, a lot of success. And it looks like my friend Tom Berryhill's with us. Tom began a quest more than half a century ago to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with emergency communications, ham radio, and electronics in general. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, John. Good morning.
Okay, your audio is pretty light on my end. I'll turn it up. Yeah, I don't know what my engineer is getting, but I'm turning it up on my end so I can hear you.
I hear you fine, John.
Did you get enjoy the warm sunshine, about 80 degrees yesterday?
Yeah, the last day of it. John, thank you very much for your service to the country. Yes, John.
Did you get out and enjoy the warm sunshine yesterday when it's about 80 degrees?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did for a while, yes.
That's good. Well, on the it's been almost a century. Well, yeah, was it 1917? The 11th day, the 11th month, the 11th hour, they called off the war, World War One, and they thought that would be the war to end all wars, didn't they?
They did, yes, but it wasn't.
It's also been said, and somewhat accurately, that World War II began the moment the German officials signed that paper, which imposed harsh penalties on the German people, the German country in general, economic penalties that led to World War II, didn't it?
Yes, it did. The reparations were pretty steep, and of course, Hitler took off from there.
Well, he created the conditions that made what he did possible, and that's exactly what happened. But anyway, this is a day. There's lots of restaurants offering free meals to veterans, and we hope that the veterans will be able to take advantage of that. And let's see, get a good meal at a nice restaurant. So and there'll be various celebrations around the country, all over the country, to honor the veterans who served in all these various wars. We don't have that many World War II vets left anymore, do we?
No, very few, John. And I think our audio wasn't working earlier. I don't think you heard me, but I wanted to thank you for your service to the country. Much appreciated, and we all do appreciate what you did. Sacrifices you made.
Well, we were basically given no choice. and that's the way it was. I went above and beyond. I was always volunteering. They always say don't volunteer. I was always volunteering for different assignments, and I had a great time in Vietnam. I would do it all over again, probably. But I would do some things differently, knowing what I know now. Well, moving on from there, the threat of war is looming before us here, with the threat of World War III becoming more of a possible reality all the time, isn't it?
It is, John. And you just have to pay attention to what's going on. Well, you don't have to look too hard to see what's going on either, but it sure seems like we could be headed that way and probably are.
Which brings us back to people taking personal responsibility for themselves and their families and their neighborhood, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Well, in that regard, I've personally taken charge, and I've been instrumental in setting up two commercial FM radio transmitters that transmit on the regular commercial band, which is illegal without a license during normal times. But when life and property is at risk, you do what you have to do. So I found frequencies that were open in our area in Davisville and in Viburnum, Missouri, that we could use those frequencies. Bought the equipment, set up the equipment, which would be the radio, the power supply, microphone, antenna, the coax to connect it in, and a Radio Shack to set it up in. One location, the first one in Viburnum, Missouri, where we're set up in the main location is the firehouse, which has backup electricity. The backup location is the police headquarters, which also has backup electricity. And here in Davisville, we had a space donated in one of the barn of one of our local cattle ranchers to set up the same thing on two different frequencies, by the way. As a result of my doing this, Cuba, Missouri has done the same thing. Steelville has not yet, to my knowledge, but I'm going to be encouraging the chief of police and the fire chief to be doing that there in Steelville as well. It doesn't cost much. For about less than $300, you can buy everything necessary. The transmitter, the power supply, the antenna, the coax, microphone, and get it all set up. I recall it's been time about 10, 12 years ago. I was at one of the chief's meetings. I don't do it so much anymore, but once a month, all the chiefs in Crawford County get together, fire chiefs, paramedic chiefs, police chiefs, and the sheriff, and they discuss things germane to keeping the county safe. And so during this meeting, I said, gentlemen, if you had to talk to everybody in your community at one time, how would you do it? And there was a lot of silence, and one guy said CB radios, which, of course, almost nobody has anymore. So I offered the solution right there at that meeting, and of course, I've proceeded to follow up and actually do these things rather than wait for somebody else to do it, which means it's not going to get done. Sometimes I'll take people on a tour of Viburnum, and I'll show them the antennas I installed. I installed the antenna at the firehouse. I installed the antenna at the police department. I drilled a hole through the concrete wall of the police department for the coax to go through, and so forth. If you wait for somebody else to do it, it's probably not going to get done, is it, Tom?
No, probably not. Not too many people know how to do that. You know, those transmitters, I'm surprised they still allow them to be imported. It used to be a difficult thing to make something like that, but a lot easier nowadays. And you can buy those things on eBay, probably Amazon too. I think I saw a 30-watt unit. I'm thinking it was around $100 or $150 or something, everything you needed. 30 watts will go pretty far. It'd cover a small community easily.
Yeah, well, these towns aren't that big, and these units are 25, 30 watts. They'll cover the entire community and outside the city limits as well. So that's what these units will do. And they're readily available on Amazon. That's where I bought the two units that I did buy, was at Amazon. And, they're readily available. And We do testing twice a year. We fire up the equipment, have it on for about 20-25 minutes or so, and have people out at remote locations around the town to make sure that everything's working properly, and shut it down for another 6 months. That's what we do. And this is simple, and I'd be glad to, if anybody wants to learn how to do this in their own community, just contact me. My telephone number's at my website at thelibertyman.com. I'd be glad to walk them through the process. It's not a big deal. But it can be a matter of life and death. Now, in the follow-up, our emergency preparedness group, the Viburnum Emergency Response Team, we bought two cases of hand crank FM AM radios that could pick up these signals. And we distributed them along with Faraday bags to the mayor, the city council, the principals of the different schools, the pastors of the churches, to try to make sure that there's a responsible person on every block of the community that would be able to receive the signal if everything else was down. So we had a complete package we put together for this little community, and it didn't cost all that much. We're looking at less than $500 with the cost of these radios that we bought for the community leaders as well. And with that, you know, of course, Viburnum is a town of only 600 people, so it didn't take that much to accomplish this goal. Obviously, for a town of 10 or 20,000 people, it would be more expense, but not all that great expense with their time.
No, that equipment's relatively inexpensive. I think the whole setup is only about $150 at the most for a 30-watt unit. I've seen them advertised online, and a lot of people are doing that.
Typically, it's everything. Yeah, typically, it's everything but the microphone is what you get. And anyway, if somebody's interested in getting started in ham radio and learning these skills, they need to go to our favorite website, which is the ARRL, it's Alpha Romeo Romeo Lima .org website, the American Radio Relay League website. And that's where they get started to get all the information they need, isn't it, Tom?
That's a good starting point. It's everything you need from ground floor all the way up to the highest level. So everything's right there, and you can get started very easily.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it appears the communists have been quite successful in their quest to conquer the United States without firing a shot. Mail-in ballots are still being used in jurisdictions all over the country. That needs to be ended. The Dominion voting machines are still being used instead of being at the bottom of the ocean where they should be. If we could just eliminate those two things, that would be a good start. It wouldn't be just those two things. Paper ballots with a carbon copy citizen keeps would be counted at the precinct is a must. That has to happen. And making sure that people really are a citizen and they can show ID when they vote. We have that in Missouri. The election official in Davisville, we know each other quite well. She was a member of the American Legion for some period of time. She says, John, I know you, but please show me your ID. So I did, just to be compliant with the rules. I showed her my driver's license. But that's not something that's racist or biased. I don't know how anybody can function. Even a illiterate welfare mother has to have ID in order to function as a welfare mother, doesn't she?
Well, it sure makes sense to me, John. I don't know what the big deal is. You just show them what they need to see, and you vote, or
absolutely,
whatever else you have to do. But I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We have a caller here, Tom. We got Glenn in Kansas. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, John and Tom. Yeah, I was going over a lot of the stuff on ham radio, and I also discovered pretty much Canada has also stepped away from the CW as being the total requirement. You know, of course, CW, you have to be of a certain talent to be able to get that down pat. I was never capable of copying, you know, much CW. I'm very dyslexic, so it was a real problem. I could send, you know, up to 20 words per minute, but I could never copy. But now there, you can do it keyboard to keyboard. There's the digital modes in which will code and decode your CW, so everybody can do that right off of a keyboard. One of my transmitters I have, it has a little feature where it'll decode code on the screen, so you can. It's really handy to have that when all else fails. But I wanted to address something.
Hold on. We'll get to the rest of your comment after the break, Glenn. Hold on.
Okay.
We'll
thank
be right
you.
Back.
Oh. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
John Moore's private consultations are the most comprehensive services available any place, anywhere in the world. They're available now and provide valuable knowledge and information that protects an individual, family, or group. We provide clarity, focus, and information for you and your associates for any situation. We have just the right knowledge, just the right information from just the right professionals. Schedule your consultation for your family or group now. Contact us at thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Once again, thelibertyman.com.
I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, and there I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Then I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand and live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My Veterans Day sale is in effect right now until Monday, the midnight, the 14th. $25 off mattress energy cleaner, 25% off the mattress pads. When you place your order, you pay full price. I refund the difference. A special bonus, we have a premium included. That would be a copy of my DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You, which is the work on which I was awarded the Prague Peace Prize in Prague, Czech Republic in 2017. And we have Tom Berhill and Glenn from Kansas here giving us some comments about CW, Morse code. Go ahead, Glenn.
Okay, am I still on?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I wanted to address something Tom had talked about a number of weeks ago, I guess closer to a month ago, and how he's dealing with, you know, the newer radios out there seem to have everything, including the kitchen sink in it. And it is difficult to keep track of all this stuff. They make them to cover just about everything and interface with your cell phone and all that. And that just seems to be the marketing of the time. You know, all this extra digital that takes more infrastructure to use it. But if you look real close at all the new radios, they still do all the basic things that an emergency radio should do. I just go through with a highlighter and look at the manual and just line the things that I want to know, and I forget about all the rest because it still does everything that you do want to do, and in very good style. I mean, you a lot of the newer radios, if you look at the, you know, the specifications, the frequency response of the microphones and the speakers are all in the range that make it easy for North American people living in North America to understand. That's one thing that I noticed with like Motorola. They have a balance of the frequencies. They were very good. I mean, I snag up some of those great Motorola speakers whenever I can find them, and I try to use the microphones that have the frequency response that I enjoy hearing. Now, when you have, say, like the Chinese-made radios, and I noticed this quite early on, their frequency response for the audio is a little more higher pitched, but their language seems to be a little more higher pitched. And to them, that sounds great. To us, it's uncomfortable to listen to. And it's like some companies like Yaesu and Kenwood and ICOM, they did everything in the engineering like Motorola did years ago in GE. They calculated in this in all of their manufacturing so the frequency response would be so it's comfortable to hear. So that's one thing that with newer radios now, they now engineer in a lot of that. And it just fits in with the, you know, the way our society is and what things are comfortable for us to hear. So when purchasing a emergency radio, it's good to consider that aspect. A lot of people wouldn't know anything from, you know, looking at the specifications, but when recommending a radio, that's what's really good about buying radios that are not real cheap, but the good radios, because I have a Yaesu and a little inexpensive FT-65, you know, handheld, and it has a very good audio on it. So buying a Yaesu or a name brand, you're going to get that type of quality engineering that is really comfortable to have. And I've used a lot of other radios and that were Chinese made, and some of them do really well, some of them don't. As far as how they're engineered, everybody is putting this everything in there, including the kitchen sink. It's kind of like you have to get used to using a Swiss Army knife. They're a little bit cumbersome at the beginning, but then they've got everything in there. So it's kind of, you know, us older guys, you know, because I'll be 69 here this fall, and I have a difficulty adjusting to radios that like to do everything, you know, like have GPS and all that.
Glenn, we'll address that when we get back from the break. Thank you for the call, Glenn.
Okay.
We appreciate
okay.
it.
Okay.
We'll be back after the break. Thank you, Glenn. We'll be back after the break and discuss Glenn's concerns, which are my concerns as well. We'll be right back.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer: 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer: 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Our humor section grows pretty much daily. Interesting videos and memes. We need some humor in our life. And when I learned things I learned in combat in Vietnam was the guy who doesn't have a sense of humor is going to get himself hurt and everybody around him hurt also. You need a sense of humor in normal times. It's not optional in hard times. My sale, my Veterans Day sale on energy cleaners is in effect right now. $25 off energy cleaners, 25% off the mattress pads. If you call my order line, don't ask the girls that are guys that take the orders about the sale. They won't have a clue what you're talking about. You go ahead and place your order. I take care of refunding the sale price myself with a bonus. Everybody who places a sale during the Veterans Day sale, places an order during the Veterans Day sale, gets a copy of my DVD titled Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You. This is a 2-DVD set. It's about 4 hours long. This is the work that was caused me to be awarded the Prague Peace Prize in Prague, Czech Republic in the summer of 2017. That's a special bonus premium with your order. You can place your order right at my website using PayPal, or you can call my toll-free order line 24 hours a day. Keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee on an energy cleaner. Here's that toll-free order line, twice, slowly, 800-592-9494. 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Speaking with Tom Berhill, we're talking about emergency survival communications, ham radio. Well Tom, Glenn's comment is something I've dealt with the entire time. I've been a ham since 1994. I think this is driven by marketing and the nature of a lot of men and women in ham radio. A lot of them want all the bells and whistles. And I noticed with electronics in general, when I was doing a lot of investigative work, I had a bag full of 35 millimeter cameras. I typically go into the field with three cameras. My main camera I upgraded with a upgraded camera. Camera back, it was electronic, and Tom, it came with a 100-page instruction manual, and I looked at this. I knew there were some features I would look interested in, so basically I did what Glenn did with these radios. I figured out how to make it do what I wanted to do and just ignored the rest of it. And you probably do a similar thing yourself, don't you, Tom?
Yeah, I do, John. That's exactly what I do. I have several pieces of ham equipment that has a lot of those menus and all that. It's so difficult to operate some of that stuff. If you work with it every day and you go through the functions that are needed and you need to use some of those menus or some that are deeply embedded in there, that's one thing. You start to memorize everything. But if you don't use that piece of equipment every day, every time you come back to it, you got to relearn the thing. That's why I truly prefer the older equipment, and the equipment I use most of the time is tube type, and there's no menus, and there's no software, and the best part is if something breaks, you can repair it if you have the test equipment. And that's why I always advise anybody that gets into this in a big way, obtain the proper test equipment to work on this this type of communications equipment. You have to have the ability to test and calibrate the equipment, and it doesn't take a ton of money. You can do it with older signal generators. You don't need all the fancy latest whiz-bang machinery and equipment to get it done. I have some older test equipment. I have some very nice Hewlett-Packard type equipment that I also use. That's much newer, still old by today's standards, because my best test equipment is the latest, I'm trying to think, about 2006 is the latest piece of high-level test equipment that I use. And everything's gone over the digital. If you're working on these radios, for the RF side of it, just to get it calibrated, get it online, power output, things like that, you can use any of the old style equipment. But if you want to check the modulation patterns and see everything going on there, you have to have some of these real late model service monitors, things like that, to work on it. But on HF, CW communications, single sideband communications, you can get by with some moderately priced equipment and be set up in a pretty good way to work on this equipment and anything else that you encounter. So it's a smart thing to do. The test equipment and the tools, I've always thought, were the most important thing. The next thing that's most important, if you're setting up for emergency, you know, lights out, hitting the fan and everything else situation, I would say the most important thing is the receiver, and then test equipment, things to keep the equipment going, spare parts, tubes, if you're going to use tube equipment, transistors, if you're going to do that. And what I do, John, one of my favorite receivers is a R.L. Drake company. Drake made, Bob Drake, they made really good stuff in Miamisburg, Ohio, back in the day, but that's my favorite receiver. It's an R4B, and it's museum quality. It looks brand new. But what I do, it has tubes. That radio has tubes, but there are some solid-state components in it, and I keep spare solid-state components for that receiver wrapped up in aluminum foil So all the leads are shorted out, so no static charges or anything can, affect those transistors and diodes and things. And then I put that in a plastic bag, and I keep it inside the receiver cabinet itself. So the spare parts are in there, along with a schematic, just of the areas where those parts would be installed, a schematic blown up, a cut sheet for that. So that's how I do it. I think you need the tools as well to do all this stuff.
You need
crimping
tools,
soldering equipment, all of it.
Don't get good quality tools. Don't get the cheap stuff. Tom, we got a caller and holder, Judy in West Virginia. Good morning, Judy.
John. Good morning, John. I just wanted to, I was really resonating with that previous caller about the manuals and everything. I actually, in my youth, got myself worked up to get a general license. I managed to pass the code. And I rewarded myself with a handheld. It's an ICOM ICT-90A. That was in 2003. And I consider myself to be pretty good at understanding manuals, but I was just so overwhelmed with this manual that I never really got the hang of using my handheld. And so I just put it in a box in a drawer, and here it is. Now the battery doesn't work. I mean, I can plug it into the wall and still get it to work, but that's where I am with that. However, I do have, my husband bought me in, I think, 1997 for Christmas, a Sony ICF-2010. What a beautiful portable shortwave. So I listen to that quite a bit, but I don't really talk on anything. Oh, that's okay. My sad story. Overwhelmed by the manual.
Well, these manuals can be quite complex, and my first handheld was an ICOM also, and I basically did the same thing. I ignored what I didn't need and just figured out how to use it for the basic things that I needed it for. Anything else, Judy?
No, that's it. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Well, thank you. The call number is
512. You know what, John? That Judy mentioned that Sony a portable shortwave receiver. That I've never operated one of those. I've seen them up close. I've never owned one, but they get very high reviews. They're held in high regards. That's a very nice receiver. And if somebody wants to get a shortwave receiver, that's one to take a look at. I see them on eBay all the time. But I think at a minimum, if people want to stay ahead of the information curve and all that, shortwave radios are an important thing to invest a little bit of money in and have available if things really start going south in a big way. You're going to get some good information on there. And so many of these shortwave receivers now, they cover the AM and FM broadcast bands. They cover the VHF and UHF frequencies to hear law enforcement. The problem with that is so much of that has gone over to digital modulation, and some of that's encrypted, so it's difficult. But you'll still hear quite a bit on those frequencies, but the shortwave frequencies with the digital readout and the single sideband capabilities will allow you to hear all the ham operators throughout the nation and throughout the world. You'll be able to hear a lot of the action as it's happening. So a receiver like that is a good thing to have, and Judy was wise in purchasing that radio.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the call number is 512-248-8252. Well, Tom, I get emails and I forward them to you, people sending me photographs of their ham shack, of their towers, their antennas, and they're proud of what they've done. And they got started because of these conversations we have every Friday morning, Tom. So we've been doing this for a number of years, and our outreach continues to grow, and we continue to alert people, educate people, and motivate people, don't we, sir?
Yes, we do, John. You have to encourage people to at least look into it, and I always encourage people to, if they're going to look at radio equipment, go into the Ham Radio Club to introduce themselves and learn more about it, and these club members will help you. Take some of the younger people along. The kids pick this up pretty quick, and it's easier than ever to get a ham radio license. You don't have to learn Morse code anymore. You don't have to worry about passing the test because all of the questions and answers are public record, and you can study and do online simulated testing, and you'll start getting a passing grade after a few weeks of study. And at that point, you'll be ready to take the test. You don't have to go to a federal building and very nerve-wracking situation with a federal examiner that gives you the test. None of that anymore.
A federal examiner who didn't want to be there giving you the test.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you, John, I could talk about that for a while. You know, the funny thing is, the last test I took was in the fall of 74, and that was my extra class. And that's everybody has an extra class nowadays. They're pretty easy to get. But back then, that was a tough test. I really thought that test was harder than the commercial test. But I remember that woman who gave that test. She was pretty nice, but when it came time to, you know, just to receive, you had to receive 20 words a minute. I had trouble writing that fast, printing it out, and I was hoping she could read what I was writing down. After 5 minutes of that, boy, you were worn out. And 1 minute of that had to be solid, perfect copy. And so then she says, okay, let's do it. So I did that. She says, okay. And then she says, okay, now you're going to have to send. And with a straight key, it was pretty hard to see. You had to be proficient sending and receiving. But I guess she was pretty lenient because I took that telegraph key they had there and I started sending. I only did about less than 10 seconds. She said, that's good enough. And I went back and to the written test. They started, it was different than all the other tests I ever took. They started you with the written test, then was ready for the code test. You turned your papers over and came up to the front, and they had the old style, what they called instructive graph. It was a paper tape machine that was accurately calibrated, and it would send the code, and then you copied it. You put a headphone, headset on, and you copied it. And then they graded that, and then she says, okay, go ahead and send. Like I said, less than 10 seconds. You're supposed to send for like a minute or 2 minutes or something. Yeah, it's good enough. Go back to your written test. And I thought for sure I failed it because I didn't think she could read my scribbling. I had to write so fast to copy that. But that was a workout. All of that stuff is gone. You don't have to do any of it. And in the old days, to get an extra class, you had to be a general class or higher for 2 years before you could qualify to take the extra class. Now you could do it all in one day if you wanted to. If you studied enough, you could have the highest class license, you know, all in one day. It's a lot of people have done it. But it's easier than ever before. And I still say with 2 or 3 weeks of study, a couple of hours a night, or a couple of nights, 2-3 nights a week, I think anybody could pass that test. And you'd be on the air. And the same people at the hand club, they give that test. You don't have to get in front of that scary examiner. It's at the federal building. It's that was a nerve-wracking thing, John, taking those tests.
I bet it was. Well, Tom, a friend of mine went through the Army school to be taught how to do Morse code, and that's all he did, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week for months. Nothing else but Morse code, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week for months. And he, of course, you if you want to get out of the school, you have to learn Morse code. Otherwise, you'd be there until you got old, I guess, or something. But he did learn it. He learned to code. The Army has a way of getting your attention, making sure you learn something, even if you're not really particularly inclined to do so. That's how he learned the Morse code.
Yeah, I had a tough time with it because I started when I was 9 years old when I started looking into this, and then I had and a lot of the older guys remember the Amoco code course. Amoco code course. It was on a LP, a 33 1/3 LP record, and you could play that thing And I could copy. I got pretty good with it. I only had to learn 5 words a minute to get the novice class. It turns out that I had that thing memorized. I tried to take the test. My dad took me to the St. Louis County Civil Defense Headquarters. I think they're out in Chesterfield now. And one of the guys there, because your first test at a novice class in those days, this is in the 60s, that was given by a volunteer examiner. And it's just any ham that had a general class or higher license could give that test to you. So I just couldn't quite get it, and I couldn't figure it out. It finally dawned on me that I had played that record so many times I had the silly thing memorized. And I could pass the test. Yeah, if they would have used that Amoco code record for the test, I would have passed with flying colors. I was right at the edge, but not quite there.
Here's our last break. We'll be right back. Hold on, Tom.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's SusannaSecret.com. SusannaSecret.com.
Gentlemen, Tom, we got our last caller here. We got Glenn in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Glenn.
Yes, hello, John. Hello, Tom. Oh, yeah, what's the time here? Tom, I just also wanted to call.
call to memory. You probably also remember the ARRL study course with that big workbook and a cassette tape called Tune in the World with Ham Radio. And that was a wonderful little course for getting your foot in the door as a novice back in the 90s would have been. But I also had the Amico, little green Amico manual for the general ticket. I mean, yeah, the technician and the general on past the tech, but I never did the general.
You know, I learned from three books. My dad was going to get into it. He had to learn Morse code in World War II, and he said he forgot it as fast as he learned it. But they did. John's right. They did drill it into these guys. But he forgot it pretty quick because he didn't work with it. And then they were at sea, and he helped the radio operator. He would deliver messages to the captain, and you know, so he was in a radio room quite a bit, and he got interested. And after the war, he wanted to get into it with a cousin of mine, and they were going to learn it together, and they just never could find a time, you know, raising families and things like that. So he handed me these three books one day, and he says, "Do you like this kind of stuff here? You want to mess with this?" He gave me those books, cleaning out his desk, and one of them was called Learning a Radio Telegraph Code, and the other one was Becoming a Radio Amateur, and the third one was called the ARRL License Manual. And those were from the early 60s, and so I learned from those. But, you know, that Learning a Radio Telegraph Code, I'd like to find another early copy of that. There was some of the test. You know, they had different things you could send for testing, you know, trying out your sending and all that. I'll never forget the one line in there, which would be considered racist nowadays, but this was after World War II, and these were published, and it said you would send this with your telegraph key because it had letters that were hard to send, J and Q and things like that, and you had to learn. This was one of the more advanced sentences because they had the hard characters to send, and that sentence said "Jap junk quits quickly," and that I'll never forget that. And the funny thing is that it would be considered racist today, but at the same time, the Japanese equipment is some of the finest in the world. I've had
That was
machine tools and radio equipment, and it's the best stuff you can spend your money on.
Well, yeah, that was actually a joke in the movie Back to the Future from the 80s. You know,
really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Christopher Lloyd, the professor, character goes back to the 80s and meets him, or back to the 50s, and he says, "Oh, no wonder this thing doesn't work. It's Japanese junk." He says, "Doc, all the best stuff is Japanese now." He says, and it just kind of freaks out the guy from the 50s. But, so that's and I believe even then there were some differences between the military code or maybe the maritime code and the civilian code, and then they came out with international code. So I learned.
Well, they had the American Morse, the landline. That's what the landline telegraphers used. And I've told the story on here before, but this old guy lived not too far from me, and I first got on the air. His name was Charlie. He was a retired landline telegrapher. And I'd hear him on there, and he'd be using International Morse, and that's when I contacted him. I met him on the air. He only lived a couple of miles from me, and he would he'd be transmitting to me and others. And
we're out of time,
International
guys.
Okay,
thanks,
guys.
For your call.
Okay, John.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Top of the hour break. We'll be back with Ruthie Andrews. Stay tuned.
I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good. And every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Mm-hmm.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.